The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Briefly, let's introduce Miss Nancy Herrera. She is the co-founder and artistic director of Metamorphosis Dance Company and co-founder and co-director of the contemporary collective COCO. She holds a bachelor's in education done conjointly in London College of Dance and Drama, Bedford College, and an MPhil Cultural Studies from the University of the West Indies in St. Augustine. So can you just define for me what the cultural studies is about? Welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM, Ms. Herrera.
Oh, thank you for having me. Cultural studies is its own way of, its own special discipline in which you look closely at what creates mostly the culture of a place and explains what goes into it and why we have such an amazing manifestations of an identity and what comes out of a culture.
And I guess from that, it will influence the choreography and dance of the Metamorphosis Dance Academy. Yes?
Yes, it is. I should just say that Metamorphosis is the dance company of the Caribbean School of Dancing. So we come out of the Caribbean School of Dancing and we are a semi-professional company, Metamorphosis Dance Company.
Ah, thanks for the correction. So, Ms. Herrera, tell us a little bit of the history of the Metamorphosis Dance Company coming out of Caribbean School of Dance. How did that evolve and what presented the opportunity for that?
Well, 30 years ago, I was teaching at Caribbean School of Dancing together with Crystal D'Souza and Carol Yipchoy. And we saw a need to take the more talented and committed students beyond just the discipline of all the different techniques taught at the school. And additionally, there were a lot of faculty in the school and a lot of Trinidadians working and living away that had come through the school. And this Metamorphosis was created to form this outlet for all of this talent. So it acted as a two-way bridge for us to showcase the talent of the school and for the dance artists working and living away to come and showcase their work here.
So at this point in time, I would like to bring in Mr. Ronald Taylor, who just joined us in studio here for the discussion as well, Ms. Herrera. Ronald, can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Okay, well, obviously I'm a Trinidad national, born and bred in Faisabad. And I'm going to make it very short. And then my artistic career started in Faisabad. I made my way to Port of Spain, then with the Caribbean School of Dancing, most notably with Asa Johnson Repertory Dance Theatre. That was the home company. But as male dancers, you know, we are few, so we are in great demand. So we danced around the city and the country. And then I went off to the Juilliard School, where many of us had in the dance had gone through. And then I dance with the second company of Dance Theatre of Harlem. Presently, also in our 35th year as a company resident in Canada called Ronald Taylor Dance. And I'm the founder and artistic director, and I'm home here lending my services to the Metamorphosis Dance Company for their Meta 30th anniversary.
So I was now about to ask, how did you and Ms. Herrera cross paths? Probably Ms. Herrera could give us that story as well.
Yeah, well, we were all dancers back in the day, and what happened was that my first big encounter with Ronnie was as a dancer. He was a superb dancer, and he also excelled in classical ballet. He excelled in folk, in jazz, in modern, in everything. But in classical ballet at the school, he was one of the first male dancers ever to get a distinction in the International Royal Academy of Dancing exams. So he was up there as the, you know, wow. And then when we first started Metamorphosis, we had a piece there was a piece that Astor Johnson had started and then got very ill. And that honor of finishing the piece went to Ronnie. So I've known Ronnie as a dancer and then as a choreographer. And then Ronnie went to New York, went to Juilliard, and then on to Arthur Mitchell, Harlem, and then made his way to Canada. And so we've always kept in touch. And I just thought this was a fitting time for him to come back to Trinidad. He also, as many of the Trinidadians living and working away, always want to give back. And it's always fabulous, the gifts that we keep getting and then sending back out. And so it's almost like a full circle round. He was there in the very first season, and he's now 30 years later in the 30th anniversary.
So like you said, it's a full circle moment. Yeah?
Absolutely. And it's such a joy, and Metamorphosis has batted again higher than its weight because of people's gifts and their collaborations. People like Ronnie, who's really made it big internationally and is coming back to give of his time and talent. And we've had that time and time again over the 30 years. And if it wasn't for that, all of those collaborations, we would not have got to this excellence in dance theater that we maintain.
So Ronald, or can I call you Ronnie?
Yes, you can.
Okay, no problem. Can you tell me a little bit about your experience with Juilliard? Because, you know, dancers and local artists in Trinidad and Tobago see places like Juilliard and performing in companies with that kind of caliber as, you know, mystifying and, oh, I won't be able to do that. Can you tell me how you got involved with that?
Well, when Astor died, I realized that I needed education because Astor was a very educated man, both artistically and academically. And I realized he left four of us, Alison Seapall, Roxanne Found, Raymond Charles, and myself, to hold the fort. Mm-hmm. But we didn't know he was going to die, which was very devastating. So with that, I ventured to go abroad to study, which I really wanted to do. And then, but with his death, made it much more imperative that I really go and educate myself. Mm-hmm. So Juilliard, as I said before, has a history of hosting Trinidadian dancers' excellence. Juilliard is the preeminent artistic school in the world. Mm-hmm. So to be accepted there,
cream of the crop.
You have to be the cream of the crop because you're going up against all of the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to sail above like oil on water, you know, you just have to show your stuff and be on your game at every given chance. So Juilliard, with its humanities, with the caliber of people that they bring in, like Benjamin Harkavy, Alfred Covino, Hector Zaraspi, whose work with I forgot the name now, but top-notch teachers and professors and visiting professors at the school, you know, to give you that grounding, that education on a world basis, you know, so you can't afford to mess up. You have to be there to experience. And then obviously New York is the mecca of dance in the world. Mm-hmm. So just being a part of Juilliard, but also venturing out. And I don't know where I found the time, but I did a lot of venturing that led me to Harlem, Dance Theater of Harlem. Mm-hmm. And, you know, dancing about the city and getting to know choreographers and, you know, and you've been recommended for jobs.
Being immersed in that whole culture
and
that energy. I can imagine. You're talking Harlem, you know.
I'm talking real top-notch, really, really top-notch. Even me performing, which I don't really talk about too much, there was a premium ballerina from the Paris Opera, and there was something called an industrial. And we get to perform one of my favorite choreographers, Maurice Béja's work of Bolero. And she never rehearsed with us. And on the day of the performance, just came in. I was wondering, now, who is this? And when I inquired, it was Sylvie Guillem from the Paris Opera. So here we go again. Me being just, in the... Go ahead, Nancy.
I just wanted to say a big shout out to why Trinidad, and this is where you're talking about the cultural studies hat that I wear. There's a very good explanation as to why Juilliard would want the Ronnies of this world, in that Ronnie would have learned all of what prepares people for a professional life as a what we call a first language. So he would have been in Best Village, and he would have been able to, those were lived dance practices, ballet, feast, shangu. He would have then been in contemporary dance. He would have been doing jazz. He would have been in carnival. And then he would have been in classical ballet. So basically, there was, Juilliard had everything to work with. And
yes,
every single dancer that went to Juilliard in that period were that versatile and on top of their game because of all the dance spaces that Trinidad produces.
Right. So this is the next question I was going to ask. What role does Caribbean School of Dance really play in harnessing and creating that in our own diaspora? Do you think that we've touched the surface, scratched the surface, or do we continue to seek that type of discipline that Juilliard has applied or demands? Can we see it here in the Caribbean?
Yes, most definitely. Scratch the surface. We are deep in it. That's why I am on a tour of giving back. That's what I call what it is I'm doing right now. And I've celebrated 30 years in Canada, and I decided to come back home. So Caribbean School is the foundation along with the others. But for a person like myself and the type of body that I had, starting ballet at 23 years of age is absolutely late. That's when I
started. That's unheard of, to tell you the truth. Yeah.
But Miss Rowe, who took the time and sat with us, and I'm the only one still alive. There was Felix Harrington, Errol Fahey, Miss Rowe, and myself one Saturday, and she explained to us and gave us this motherly, but even though she's our teacher, this care that we needed.
The firmness
of knowing, hey, you all could do it even though it's late. You know, that's why I could have come out with something like a distinction in ballet even though I was late. But it also requires a depth of discipline, a discipline that goes far beyond the studio. And I'm talking about the discipline of the home, because I grew up with my godmother, and with one look, you knew you got to get yourself together. You understand? So that discipline, taking it into the studio, could take you miles and miles away.
And next, going into the Metamorphosis Dance Academy, Miss Herrera, your celebration is to showcase that discipline and the movement from taking these young children and molding them into the ballerinas and dancers of today. Tell us a little bit about your celebration, when it will be, and what will it encompass?
Okay, so we are celebrating 30 years of dancing, and the company starts the season in the exact way that we started 30 years ago, with an amazing piece which is done on point to the haunting rhythms of a Japanese drumming. And it's called Everything Comes to an End. And it looks like ghosts just floating on air. And then as you go through each of the curated pieces, we celebrate all the different styles and techniques over the years. So we have other classically inspired pieces. We have contemporary pieces, modern pieces, folk pieces. We have a hip-hop piece, which is very edgy, and now we also have a young choreographer, Zidane Rootnarine, experimenting with classical Indian, and then we have two contemporary folk pieces, one by Terry Springer, who is the associate artistic director of the company, and that is live percussive music by the UTT Ensemble. And then there is Ronald Taylor's piece done to a piece composed by Kareem Brown, played live by the National Steel Symphonic Orchestra on stage. So it is a very, and then we have also another associated artistic director, Bridget Wilson, who does a lot of contemporary work, and she is doing one of the pieces, one of our defining pieces in our repertoire called Le Vitre. So you see where we've come from over the years. There are pieces that we've repeated, and then there's also very much where we see ourselves now and into the future. So it's and there's one other exciting piece that I've omitted, and that is Ronald Taylor came with a dancer called Yui Yubai, and she's a Japanese born living in Canada, and she has done a piece using traditional Japanese fans in a contemporized way. So it's a real showcase of, and there's something there for everybody. So that some of the pieces are on the heavy side, very contemplative, and then there's some really lighter, happier, celebratory pieces. So, and a lot of live music.
And this all comes together to embrace and to also show the development of the young ones. From what age do they start at the Metamorphosis Dance Company?
Okay, well, as I told you, that Metamorphosis is the company of the Caribbean school. So most of the dancers would have started at the school when they were like 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. And then when they get to young, sort of like, it's a standard. They have to hit a certain standard. When they get to intermediate, and once you get to that standard, so like Ron, you just explained, he got to that standard at 23, but some of those girls would have hit that standard at 14. So mm-hmm. it's a standard we're after. When you hit that standard, you are invited, if you have the technical requirements and you have the passion and the discipline, you are invited into the company. So some of those girls would be as young as 14, and some of them are at UE. Some have taken a year off after their gap year. So you have a range
like form
of
five.
Ages.
Yeah. No. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still there.
Oh, I thought that'd be lost connection with you. So coming out, do you find that within recent years, more men have decided to join dance? Because I realize that a lot of young men decide, you know, this is not something that they would like to get into. Ronald, what do you think?
Well, I think not really, you know. We've always had men in dance, but more so you would find them in Best Village. Mm-hmm. And now with the invention of hip-hop, there are more men in hip-hop who have competition, who choreograph, coach, and whatnot, that's being involved. But one of the unique things about Metamorphosis, it's a female-driven company. So, yes, more men take place in the dance at a later age. And what it is we have to do, like myself, is we have to play catch-up to the girls. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're so dedicated, we sometimes surpass that standard of the girls that we move on into companies. And they often use us to partner the girls because we get that grounding from home. You know, my mother always used to say, charity begins at home and ends abroad.
So, Ms. Herrera, to close off, tell us where we can get tickets, where the event will be taking place. Is it just a one-night event, or can people see it over a couple of days? Tell me more about it.
Okay, it's at Napa, and it's Saturday the 4th of May at 7 o'clock and Sunday the 5th of May at 6 o'clock. You can get tickets at the Napa box office, and you can also get tickets from any one of the dancers. And if you check out social media, you'll find all of, you know, other places you can get it from the school as well. But the best place is just go straight to Napa box office, and the tickets are only $200.
Are there any clues?
There's only one other thing. We're going to have a very interesting costume display in the lobby, because we have costumes that were designed by Carlisle Chan and Pat Bishop and Robert Lasheras, all of which they made us who we are as Metamorphosis in more ways than one. And so this is honoring them and their contribution to us. But it's also really interesting to see what theatrical design, rather than, we always talk about carnival, but we often don't see theatrical costumes displays. So there's dancing, there's a display, but please come and see the show. I think it's you know, it's an exciting place, and there's a celebration of 30 years of all of forms dance. Of dancing. So there's something for everybody.
So it's almost like a museum piece within a cultural dance piece as well, showcasing, like you said, 30 years of the evolution of the company, which is very interesting.
Yes.
We've also done a commemorative brochure that maps out some of the highlights of our international collaborations, our going on tour, when we've done really amazing things. And we also have our patron, who is Celine Gittins from Point Fortin, and she's the first Trinidadian ballerina of color in the Royal Ballet. She's our patron as well.
Wow, that's
so we have real international connections, and as I say, gifts coming from all over. This circle of giving and everybody giving back, because we are poor in Trinidad, but rich in talent and
culture,
but poor in money.
Most definitely.
And the thing is, it took a lot of foresight to make sure that you keep in check, all right, let me keep this costume from this production so that later on we can do a grand showcase like this and celebrate the hard work and dedication of everyone who's passed through the school over 30 years. So I would like to congratulate you on keeping, you know, that vibe alive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. There's a lot of dedication and hard work.
Yeah.
But, you know, we cannot stress enough, we still need the support of the audience. Come in and filled and be entertained, also educated about dance in Trinidad and Tobago at one of the meccas of Trinidad and Tobago, the Metamorphosis Dance Company.
Well, thank you so much, Ms. Herrera and Ronald, for coming and, you know, sharing with us that piece of history, and best of luck on the weekend.
Okay, thank you so
much. Thank you so much for having us.
Yes.
All right, so could I say break a leg?
You can.
Okay, great.
Yeah, that's a correction.
All right, thank you so much for joining us here on Freedom 106.5 FM.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.